I often wonder when people who are Catholic, who were raised Catholic, you know, grew up with the sacraments, received them regularly, particularly the communion, often wonder when they drift away from the church or when they choose to no longer participate, I wonder if they ever miss receiving Holy Communion. And one time I had an opportunity to find that out. A mother who had a son who had done just that, who had taken his family to another church. I had celebrated her daughter's wedding, and so she arranged that he sat right next to me at the rehearsal dinner. And of course, her expectation, I found out later, was that he would want to discuss something about going back to church with me. And so so he told me, he said, well, I asked him, I said, did you grow up in this parish? And he said, yes, you did. And I said, and when did you decide to quit going there? Oh, well, he gave me some time and some reason. And the reason was kind of, you know, shallow, but it was important to him. So I said, well, what do you like about this church? And he said, well, one thing, they tithe. And I said, oh, so you tithe? Yeah, he does that. I said, well, what else? He said, I find their sermons very stimulating. And I said, that's interesting, okay. Anything else? Well, they seem to have a nice community. The people seem to work together and do things together. He said, I like that. And I said, do you ever miss anything from the Catholic Church? And he said, well, yeah, sometimes I miss receiving the Eucharist. And I said, well, shouldn't that tell you something? That maybe you're not where you need to be. And he said, yeah, I guess I just need somebody to tell me that. He said, I'll be back to church next week. And I said, if you like to tithe, you can continue tithing when you come to the Catholic Church too. But he was there the next week. But you know, it's interesting to say that we, on these four Sundays during the summertime, all the readings are about the Eucharist. And of course, the Mass is an integral part of all of that. And you kind of say to yourself, we look at our world today, and we kind of say, I got this quote, this information from some videos that I've been watching, that 75% of the Catholics who consider themselves active Catholics in the United States do not participate in Mass on Sundays any longer. 75%. And when we think about the treasure that we have, you kind of say, What is the thinking that's behind this? What is making people make this choice that they don't need this? You know, the amazing thing is the 25% who usually do arrive here, you know, you're part of that. In this country, that's 25%. In some other countries, it's 10%. Or I remember one priest from a country in Europe told me when he was here one time, he said in the city where he worked, 2%. Regularly participate in Mass on Sunday. And the scriptures talk about this treasure that is ours. And we talk about, you know, that our lifetime we want to grow to an intimate knowledge and love of God. That's what God wants for us. That's what he's done for us. He gives us life. He gives us life. He sustains us in life. I mean, we don't last a split second if he is not giving that life to us. I mean, we don't have it by ourselves. We think we do, but we don't. If he decides that, you know, for some reason or other, which God won't do, but if he decides, I don't think this person should be around anymore, you vanish. That's how much God loves us, that he makes us, every one of us different. He sustains us so that every breath we take, he is there making sure things are working. He gives all that to us. When we mess up, he sent his son to die so that we could have life. That's how much he loves us. So we keep saying, yeah, I love God. But I really haven't got much time for him. Well, any kind of loving relationship is going to demand some kind of time. We have to be able to spend some time with the one that we love, to acknowledge the one that we love. If we don't do that, that relationship is soon going to vanish. So we have from the scriptures hundreds and thousands of examples of how Christ, God, so loved us. and continues to love us. In spite of all of our sinfulness and foolishness, in spite of our abandonment, he still always takes us back. That's how much he loves us. He said, but if you're really going to grow in a relationship with me, there is nothing more you can do than to become one with me through the Eucharist. We become one with Christ. When you eat food, that food becomes part of you. When we eat the bread of life, that life becomes part of us. That is God giving himself to us in the form of bread and wine. And he said, I give this to you because I want to be intimately a part of your life. So when we take that into our bodies, God becomes part of us, and we become one with him. That's how close that relationship is. And so you kind of wonder when you read all of these things about the Eucharist, how is it possible that 75% of the people who say they are Catholic don't feel a need of that kind of a relationship with our God? Somehow or another, that becomes unimportant to them or are not necessary to them. Something else is taking over. Something else is taking over their lives. But it's some. At the same time, they say, oh yeah, they want a relationship with our Lord, but sometimes don't do anything to acquire it. They don't do anything to develop it, to sustain it, to grow with it. And that's what our Lord gives to us in the Eucharist. It's the bread of life. It's the bread of our life. If we want to grow in a love for our God, love for our Lord, if we want him to become one with us, we receive his body and blood. And we become one with him, and he becomes one with us. That's how close God wants to be to us. There's a bishop, he started this Word on Fire ministry, and it's pretty much an evangelization ministry, where he provides all kinds of sermons, texts, programs to help us grow in the knowledge and love of our Catholic faith. He's just come out very recently with a series on the Mass. I've listened to it twice already. I've been celebrating the Mass for lots of years, but there's more enlightenment in there. I mean, every time you listen to something, there's more that you can learn about this gift that our Lord has given to us, that we celebrate every week. You are here to celebrate it. And he said, I give that to you because I love you, and I want you to grow in your love for me. But the series on the Mass, it gives you a very good insight into what the Mass is all about. It takes time, you know. There's like 5 25-minute talks. And I know sometimes we say, oh my gosh, a sermon 10 minutes long is a little bit too much. But the guy is really good, and he's very clear. It's worth your while if you can borrow those somewhere, because they're kind of expensive. I don't know if you have a library here in the parish where you could maybe find those and just go through them. But it gives you a great insight into what the Mass is about. You know, the Mass begins when you decide to come. The celebration begins when you're home and you get up and you say, well, I'm going to the 5 o'clock Mass today, so I'm going to prepare. We're going to leave at 4 o'clock, and we're going to come to the church. So all of this is part of the celebration. It's part of this body of Christ, this mystical body of Christ, which we are coming together to offer praise, to listen to the Word of God, to lay out our needs to him, and to receive the gift that he wants to give to us himself. It's very much worth your while if you can find the time to do that. But in the meantime, just think about that today. What a treasure we have, and how often members of our own church family decide it's not that important. It's not necessary. How do you take the bread of life and say, I don't need it? The chosen people in the desert, they're wandering there. For 40 years they wander as they become the people of God. And it was a training process. And they had to learn to depend on God, that this is the one true God who will take care of you. And so they had to learn to depend that manna would be on that ground every morning, so that they would have enough to eat, that the fowl would come and scatter around their encampment in the evening so that they would have meat to eat. He provided water for them, but they had to learn to trust and depend on him. And somehow or another, we seem to lose that. We think that somehow or another, we're beyond that now. that we can pretty much handle ourselves. But we can't. Not when it comes to the things of God. Not when it comes to things of eternal things. Not when it comes to the love of God. Not when it comes to all of this kind of thing that God offers to us. We need him. And he said, I give you this bread, which is my own body and blood. It becomes part of you as you become part of God. Think about that. We have a treasure. And somehow or another, we need to let the people know who are not here, who choose not to be here, what a gift God has given to us. But we have to embrace it. We have to accept it. He doesn't force it on us. Like any love relationship, it can't be forced. That will kill it immediately. But the invitation is always there from our Lord. Come, let me give you food that will really feed you, that will satisfy you. It is the bread from heaven. That is a treasure our God gives to us. We need to love it, to respect it, to think about it, to pray about it, to thank him for what he has done for us.